Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we thank you, God. We thank you that you are a God who loves us, who cares for us, and that we can come to you in this simple way, and that you hear us, and you hear our concerns and our worries and our cares, and we lift them up to you. So, Lord, we pray for the members of our congregation and the friends among us who need your care, especially right now. We commit Tina Metz to you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would be near and dear to her right now, and to Willard and her family. May your love surround them. May your spirit embrace each and every one of them, and hold Tina especially in your loving arms at this time. May they know, Lord, who it is that holds them and cares for them. I pray, Lord, too, for little William, Joanne's Hatfield's grandson. Pray, Lord, that the doctors will be able to know and have the wisdom to know how to heal permanently or long-term his heart condition. And just pray, Lord, that you would hold the little William as well in your arms and give him strength. Give him strength and strengthen his heart. And Lord, pray for Joanne and the family, the parents, Lord, help them as well with anxiety and their care. Remember also Leah's friend, Alice, and the nerve issue that she has been suffering with for a few months now. And pray, Lord, that she might have patience. Give her strength and give her grace. Encourage her and lift up her heart during this time when she feels dragged down and depressed over her condition and maybe feel isolated and feel perhaps lonely and abandoned. Help her, Lord, to see that she is not abandoned and she is not alone. Give her grace and help her as sustain her as she prepares for that September appointment with a neurosurgeon. And pray that we might find a cure and a healing for what ails her. So, Lord, we pray. We know we commit the sufferings of the world to you. We look at the news at times, we look at the world around us, and we know that there's plenty of persecution going on, oppression here, injustice there, sufferings everywhere. And sometimes we ask ourselves, how long? How long, O Lord? But we trust in you. We know that you will not let this go on forever. And we know that your justice, as well as your love and mercy, will right the wrongs of the world. And you will, in your own time, free the oppressed, bring liberation to those who are in prison, and help those who need help. So, Lord, pray. Guide us and lead us, and help each one of us and help this church to be your salt and light, a channel of your peace, a way to bear the fruit of the Spirit so that we may be a blessing, no matter how small, to those around us. And we pray, as we turn to your scriptures now, may you guide us and lead us, help us to hear your word and be transformed by it. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. That's the snail that Emily was alluding to. Let me just read our scriptures passages to you. One is our series theme passage, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And the next passage is James, chapter 5. James 5, verse 7 to 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, you consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And finally, further along a few more pages in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3, read from verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And just a few verses down, 14 and 15. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote, with the wisdom that God gave him. These are the words of the Lord. Have you heard of that joke that says, you know, where a Christian is praying to God, "Dear God, please, you know, give me patience, you know, help me to be a more patient person, and please do it quickly." Right? We live in a very impatient world, don't we? You know, everything is fast, fast, fast. We're just growing at full speed all the time. You know, it's kind of blurring. Everybody's just a blur along. You know, everybody wants everything done yesterday. The food is fast. The internet is fast. Delivery has to be fast. Work has to be fast. Everything is instant. We want everything done instantaneously. We want everything now. And even spirituality sometimes can be an instant spirituality, or we want a quick fix spirituality. We want things fast and quick. We want to be a spiritual saint, you know, tomorrow. It doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work that way. And in our impatient world, in many ways, being patient is a countercultural thing. being patient is a countercultural thing. This dimension of this fruit of the Spirit, and I say a dimension of the fruit because remember, it is not fruits, plural, of the Spirit, it is singular fruit. One fruit of the Spirit that has all these different dimensions, joy, peace, love, and all that, is all one fruit. It's not all these different fruits that you can pick and choose what you want. I like love, I don't really care for peace all that much, but you know, you can't do that. It's one package, one fruit with all these different dimensions. So this dimension of patience in this fruit is one that is sorely lacking, I think, these days in our North American culture. Sorely lacking, but also sorely needed. Now, we can talk about how, you know, we should be more patient while we are waiting in line at a grocery store, or while we are waiting for something to download on our computer screen, or waiting at the traffic lights. We can talk about that. Those are part of our everyday lives. But I want to focus more this morning on what I think the Bible tends to focus more on when the Bible talks about patience. And that has to do more with when we face hardships and suffering, when we face injustice and evil, when we face, you know, times when we are really ill and in need of healing. And I think that's what I want to focus on this morning, because I think that's what the Bible tends to focus on as well. So let's just start with that. Let's understand patience and perseverance. What are these things? Now, when you look at the Bible, you find, like in our passages that I read this morning, you find that patience and perseverance tend to go together. They're connected very often. And you see why they're connected, all right? Patience, and in some older English translations of the Bible, because the New Testament that we have is originally in Greek, and it was translated into English, our translations call it patience. In some older translations, like the King James Version, it's called long-suffering. You know, long-suffering instead of patience. Long-suffering. And that's sort of the idea with that. Patience is about putting up with something. You put up with it. You endure something. You bear with it. You long suffer something that you don't want to suffer. And that's what sort of it means. Now, perseverance is more about sticking with it. You stick with something. You keep doing something. You keep on trusting. Keep on plodding on. Keep on working at things. That's you persevere. And in our James 5 passage that I read, you see both of those words, patience, long-suffering, and perseverance. Those are two different Greek words, by the way. Two different Greek words in the original. And they are both in our passage. You can see the difference between patience and perseverance. You know, where patience is kind of focused on, relatively speaking, a more passive waiting. You wait, it's more about time, you know. But perseverance is more about active doing. You keep doing something. Patience is more focused about how long. How long do I have to wait, or how long do I have to suffer or endure this? And perseverance is more focused on direction, determination. Keep on doing something without giving up, even though it's difficult. It's about resolve, persistence. Perseverance is like the prophets who kept on speaking on God's behalf, even though they faced dangers and faced persecution. Or like Job, who kept on trusting God despite all the suffering and pain that he's going through in his life and in his body. In our passage in James, there is a very helpful metaphor there that I find quite helpful in thinking about patience and perseverance and how these two combine together. There is the metaphor of the farmer that James used, like the farmer who was patient, waiting for, you know, the autumn rains. The farmer has to do all kinds of work, by the way, right? If any of you, you know about farming, you have to, you know, plow the fields when the time is right. You have to sow the seeds, right? Talking about sowing seeds. Right? And then you got to, you know, nurture and take care of the, you know, the crops assigned to grow, right? You got to water them. But there's some things in all of those things that they had to do year in and year out. They keep persevering in doing those things. But there are things also that they have no control over. They have no control over the weather. They have to wait for that. Maybe they can mitigate some things. Nowadays, we have technology, we can start watering the fields if there's no rain. But there's the limit to what they can do. They cannot make the crops grow any faster, even if they wanted to. It will grow in its own time, and they have to be patient about the things they have no control over. So I think this is very helpful for us to understand patience and perseverance. It doesn't mean that when we are patient or long-suffering with something, especially when it comes to injustice and evil, it doesn't mean that we just sit and wait and twiddle our thumbs and let the bullies or the oppressors go ahead and do their things and we just kind of like a doormat and just take it. It doesn't mean that. While we are patient and sometimes we have to put up with evil and tolerate it, it doesn't mean that we don't do what we can or should, like the farmer. We are supposed to do and persevere and keep on doing the things that we are called to do. Right? To defend those who are powerless, to help those in need of help, to resist those who are doing evil, to help alleviate pain and suffering from illness. We keep doing and keep persevering to do the things we are supposed to do that is in our control, that we are called as God's people to do, while we, at the same time, sometimes have to endure and suffer and put up with the things that is out of our control. Because injustice and evil does not go away just like that. So just keep that image in mind about the growing the seeds and the farmer and the patience and perseverance. How do we grow in patience and perseverance? Besides praying for God to hurry up and make us more patient, how do we grow in patience and perseverance? Well, we have to recognize as a fruit of the Spirit, it's not something so much that we do, so to speak, or we create on our own. Right? It's not like a cause and effect thing. We do this and we're going to be having this fruit. Again, there's that Spirit that is working in us. But I think like the farmer, just as we cannot give growth, the farmer cannot cause growth, but a farmer can do things that foster growth to take place. And so can we with our own spiritual lives. We cannot sort of create it and make ourselves be more patient or force the Spirit to hurry up and get this thing going. Transforming us. But we could do things on the spiritual disciplines, prayer, immersing ourselves in the Word and in service with others, you know, basic stuff, discipleship that helps foster the Spirit's work in our lives. But I want to suggest two things in particular that helps, I think, specifically with patience and perseverance. Trusting in God's justice and trusting in God's compassion and mercy. We trust in God's justice that He will not let evil flourish forever. We get to see the big picture of things. We get to put evil, suffering, pain, injustice in the context of God's big story that this is not all there is. This is not the end of the story. That there is an ending where God will triumph, where God's justice will come and right all the wrongs and fix all the injustices in the world and remove all the evil from us and all the pain and the suffering. And if we see that, even if we look at in history, there are times when God does deliver, even in the here and now. So we trust and put our faith in God's justice, that He will not let evil to continue unabated and unresisted by Him. We can be patient even when we are suffering, as we long and we look forward to the day when Jesus comes again and usher in the new heaven and new earth. If our patience is based on God's justice, so to speak, our perseverance can take inspiration from God's compassion and mercy. God will bless those who persevere in doing what's right. God will bless those. His love and His compassion will not let us, you know, keep doing the right things, keep following Him, keep obeying Him, keep trusting in Him like Job, without, in any form or fashion, at least blessing us, caring for us, and giving us grace. It may not be material blessings, but He will still bless us. As our James passage says, those who persevere are blessed. And look at the Job's example. So I hope that those two things, at least, if we continue to trust in God's justice, putting evil and suffering in the bigger context, and trusting in God's compassion and mercy to bless us even while we are putting up with suffering, we might grow to be more patient and persevere. How might this look like? What difference does it make to our discipleship, to our mission and our ministry? Now let's, for patient discipleship, for example, now I put discipleship and then later on the next slide, mission and ministry, in separate slides, not that they're two separate things, they're interconnected obviously, but just I didn't want to put everything, too much stuff on one slide. A patient discipleship might look like a long obedience in the same direction. That's the title of a book by Eugene Peterson about discipleship. And I think that captures Christian discipleship in a nutshell. We live in an instant society, and we think sometimes that, you know, we, as much as we want, there is no there's no YouTube or website that you could just quickly download information and become a great disciple from that. Discipleship is not all about up here. Knowing things. It involves some of that, but that's not all Christian discipleship is about. Discipleship is almost like an apprentice. You go to school with Jesus, and you walk with Jesus, and you have to learn hands-on as you practice every day, day in and day out. It's closer to more like a musician. Right, you can learn all the theories, but if you don't go to the keyboard and start practicing, you ain't going to get any better at playing the piano. You got to practice every single day, all the time. Keep practicing and all the mistakes and keep going and going and drills in and out. And that's how, until it becomes second nature to you and you can do it with your eyes closed. That's what Christian discipleship is like. It's a long obedience in the same direction, following Jesus. you practice day in and day out how to follow Jesus, how to be a follower of Christ, how to be Christ-like, how to practice love and patience and grace and joy to others. You do it and you probably fail and make mistakes every day, and you keep persevering and keep doing it. One other thing I want to mention is that at the very least, an impatient discipleship means we are slow to anger and quick to listen to people. And that's strange and countercultural, because we are in a world where everybody is very quick to anger and very slow to listen, isn't it? Just look at the social media, just look at Twitter and look at Facebook, and you see that people are very quick to get angry and outraged about things. And very slow sometimes to even read carefully what people are actually saying. Slow to anger and quick to listen. When it comes to our mission and ministry, do we focus on creating lasting impact? Or do we, like the world, sometimes are focused on getting quick results? Do we simply do, you know, what I would call drive-by ministry? Or are we in it for the long haul? Do we think about creating long-lasting relationships with people and journeying with people and walking with people? Or do we just want to do something quick and dirty just to make ourselves feel better? Those are challenges. Are we biding God's time? Or sometimes do we feel like we are trying to force the issue? Right, think about a farmer again, right? We cannot hurry up the harvest. Because sometimes when we do that, it actually causes more damage to the plants. We have to faithfully persevere and keep doing what we are called to do, what we are supposed to do. Keep sowing the seeds of the gospel. Keep on removing the rocks that might hinder people's faith. And keep on watering people's faith with love and grace. But we have to wait for God's Spirit to work in His own time. We cannot force the issue, and we cannot try and hurry things up sometimes. In this regard, we have God as our model for us. God is our model of patience. As you know, Emily talked about the song from Herbert, the snail, or whatever it was. We have a patient God. We have a patient God. Now, I don't know if the hourglass is the best image, but that was the best image I could find. The hourglass is kind of more finite sands, but I think it's a much bigger. Imagine a huge, giant hourglass. But anyways, God's patience, you know, it's long with us. God suffers long our sins, our rebelliousness. Right? How we so often don't get it, and we turn away from Him so often. And as you read in 2 Peter 3, you know, God's patience means salvation. God's patience means He's giving us time so that we can repent. He's giving the world time for the world to repent and to turn to Him. He's giving us time that we can grow in our spiritual relationship with Him, so that we can know more about His love and His mercy. Otherwise, you know what? If God isn't patient with us, you know, we won't be standing here anymore. Right? He would have come and just fix this right now. But no, God is patient with us. And in that light, God's patience also means, is also a demonstration of His love for us. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but He wants us to repent. And yet He's letting us instead of forcing us, He wants us to do it. And He's willing to wait for us. 1 Corinthians 13 says, the first thing, love is patient. Right? That famous passage, love is patient, love is kind. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. God is patient and God is long-suffering. He suffers us long. But He is also steadfast. He is also persevering in His love towards us. Because every day, He gives us His love and His mercies. Even when we may not realize it, every day His mercies are new. And every day He's steadfastly and persevering in loving us and caring for us, even when we don't deserve it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, thank you, God, for your patience. How you are patient with us and how you persevere with us. And not just us individually and corporately, but the whole world for generations and eons. Although we, as a world, have turned away from you so often and sinned against you and sinned against one another, Lord, still, you put up with us and you stick with us through it all, even to the point of dying on the cross for our wrongdoing, for our sins, so that you can save us. So, Lord, we pray, help us, transform us. May we follow you in a long obedience in the same direction as faithful followers of Christ. May your Spirit bear fruit in us, Lord. Guide us and lead us, we pray. Amen. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior are welcome to the Lord's table. And we'll be serving you in the pews this morning. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God and Father.
It is right for us to give thanks and praise to our Holy God.
Let us lift our voices together in praise as we sing.
Merciful and mighty God in praise.
Let me lead you in prayer. Loving God, we are thankful that you forgive us, accept us, and change our names to reflect your glory. Thank you for being faithful even when we fumble. Thank you for your word and spirit that lead and sustain us. Thank you for Jesus who makes reconciliation possible. And now, send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine which we receive may unite us as one in the body and blood of Christ, and that we, filled with the Spirit's grace and power, may be renewed for the service of your kingdom. Amen. Savior gave us this memorial of his sacrifice. In the upper room of his disciples, the Lord Jesus took bread. Got stuck there. He took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." So whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. People of God, the Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, you are now invited to come with joy to the table of the Lord.